Habakkuk chapter 2, starting in verse 2 and reading down through verse 5. And the Bible reads, "And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end, it will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come, it will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright with him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. Moreover, wine is a traitor, an arrogant man who is never at rest. His greed is as wide as Sheol. Like death, he is never enough. He gathers for himself all nations and collects as his own all peoples." When someone comes to us and they want to sell us the latest and greatest thing in the world, that this product will save us a lot of money, and that there is nothing on the market like it, it's kind of tempting, isn't it? But one of the things, if we're smart about something like that, is we want them to write that down. We want all those promises in writing, so there's no misunderstanding. And those who refuse to write it down, those are the ones that we're going to dismiss. What is there about writing something down that scares people? Is it because it's harder to deny what you wrote down than what you said? The one thing that we can understand and see is that God is not afraid to write it down. God took Moses up to the mountains and God wrote the Ten Commandments. He was not afraid to write it down. In Revelation 1 and verse 11, what we see in that book is that John is told to write down the vision. My point is, that God has said to people, write it down several times. And every time that he has had his people write things down, it was important. Now, Habakkuk may have been a little fearful when he maybe crossed some line with God. If you look in chapter 2 or chapter 1, there was two complaints that Habakkuk had. They were good complaints. And the first complaint, God answered him. This second complaint is what Habakkuk was waiting for an answer. And when God answers Habakkuk, he tells him to write down the vision. You know, a lot of Christians like to quote 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." But if you look at the context of what Paul was writing here, it has to do with orderly worship. It has to do with people prophesying and one trying to prophesy over another and causing confusion instead of edifying the church in which these things were spoken. God is not the author of confusion. It's not his way. And I say this because reading God's word for some can be very confusing. Trying to figure out commands versus interpretations versus culture isn't always easy. But when God says, write it down, he does so that we can understand it. God wants to reveal his message to us, and those who are righteous will seek to hear it. So we come to hear God speak to Habakkuk the second time. We come to hear God say, write the vision, make it plain upon the tablets, he may run to read it. God is basically saying, make this message understandable to the people. The Hebrew language can be a little confusing, but the meaning is that the prophecy needs to be given to the people because it is of tremendous importance. Not just at the time it was written, especially in this time of Habakkuk when the people were suffering itself. But there is something that is being revealed here that has a future to it, and that future needs to be understood. In verse 3 of Habakkuk chapter 2, it says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it seems slow, wait for it, because it will surely come." If I was the prophet listening to this and writing it down, I might be wondering myself, am I going to see it? It's not unlike the brethren in Thessalonica. They were expecting, really, to see Christ return, not realizing that it may not come in their lifetime. We anticipate and hopefully look forward to Christ coming during our lifetime. But we have to wait for it. What God is about to tell Habakkuk and what he wants written down is so that it will be believed when it comes to pass. An example of this would be Joseph. When he was 17, he had some dreams, and he shared those dreams with his family. And in those dreams, they were bowing down to him. And the brothers were not really wild about these dreams, and to be honest, neither was his father. They would sell Joseph into slavery just to get him out of their life. And Joseph's life at that point would have its ups and downs. But eventually, after interpreting Pharaoh's dreams, Joseph found himself in the number two position in all the land. Then the famine reaches his brothers and his father in Canaan. They come to Egypt. They don't even know or even recognize Joseph, and they bow down for him before him. And the end statement recorded in Genesis chapter 50 in verses 19 and 20. And Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it to pass as it is this day, so that many people should be kept alive." From the time Joseph had that dream was many years in between, because it wasn't long after this statement that Joseph eventually would die. That dream came true. It preserved a great nation. How do we live? Here's where the prophecy itself begins. The first thing that God answers is that the proud and the righteous have very different insides, and they have different ways of living. The Chaldeans, they are a puffed up people. They are people who trust in themselves, and they often live by a different standard. That's no different than what we find here in the outside world. We have people on one side of this fence that live by a different standard than we do. For them, some of the things they do, there's nothing wrong with. For us, it's an abomination. In verse 4 of chapter 2, of Habakkuk, we look at the puffed up man. His soul is not right within him. He lives only on the outside. He's conceited and he's become a god to himself. Paul, to the church at Corinth in chapter 10 and verse 12 of 1 Corinthians, he said, anyone who thinks he stands, take heed lest he falls. And Solomon in Proverbs 16, verse 18, said, pride goes before destruction, and the haughty spirit before a fall. The Babylonians had this self-love, and that self-love would become eventually their defeat. The Babylonians lost their kingdom to the Persians. The Persians, because they were puffed up, lost their kingdom to the Greeks. The Greeks, because they couldn't get their act together, lost it to the Romans. And the Romans, and so on through history, lost it to the Gauls, to the Mongols, to the Turks. All because they're puffed up. What about our nation? Have we become that puffed up nation? Do we think so much of ourselves that we can do without God? It seems like that's where we're headed. Habakkuk was given a revelation to write what would come to pass in the future. Not that day, not next week, but in the future. And God reassures him that there's a difference to God between the righteous and the wicked. That the righteous will live by his faith. Are we living by our faith? Do we put our trust in God? It doesn't seem like it today. We've seen what happened these last few months with Afghanistan. We see what's happening with our economy. We see what's happening with all this infighting among the people, and we're fearful. We're fearful. We're afraid of what's going to happen to us. Is that living by faith? Or is that living by fear? He says, because he transgresses his transgressions by one, he's a proud man. He doesn't keep his whole. He enlarges his desires as hell and is as death. That's what Sheol is, death. He can't be satisfied. He gathers to himself all nations, and he heaps unto him all people. When Israel was taken into, and Judah was taken into captivity, the poorest were left behind. Why? One, they were of no value. Two, they were used as slaves to till the land and keep the vineyards. Everyone else was taken to all different manner of countries, splitting them up so they cannot gather together to make an uprising. They gathered those people together. Verse 5 of our text lays out the pride of the Babylonians, like that of wine, that eventually will consume the consumer. And like the underworld, like death, the proud and the drunks never have enough. Tucked away in that text is a statement that gets repeated in the writings of the New Testament 3 times. The righteous will live by faith. What God is telling Habakkuk here basically is, keep faith in me and do what is right and you will live. The calling is as true today as it was then. We're to keep our faith in God. Our loyalty is not to this church building, but to the God who leads our church. Even when we are facing circumstances that are difficult, we lift the name of Jesus Christ on high. For Habakkuk, this is about how you live. Do we live in holiness? Do we live in faithfulness? Do we live in obedience? As Christians, we hold on to that grace of God. Paul says in Romans 6 and verse 1, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Just because we have that grace does not mean we can do whatever we want. We are just fortunate to have that grace. And we must never play with it. God's calling is high. God's expectations of us is to be faithful even to the point of death. I cannot imagine how horrible it was for the Christians of the first and second century to maintain and be steadfast in the face of death. There's only one other place I know that treated people like the Christians were treated in Rome, and that's North Korea, where they were given to the dogs to be torn apart. Christians put up with an awful lot through the years, enduring tremendous persecution, but God wants us to be faithful to the point of death. The Message puts verse 4 like this: behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Are we fully alive in Christ? Or are we just playing a game? Are we using our religion to lie to us? Are we really alive? Or are we playing? Our walk with Christ and with God is not on Sunday alone. It is every single day of the week, no matter where we are, no matter what we are doing. His light needs to shine through us. And if we're only playing at being a Christian, that light will not shine anywhere. We must keep in step with the Holy Spirit. We must allow the world to see our faith in us. That is what God wants. The message of Habakkuk is to let us know something great is coming. We know that. And we know that we do not know exactly when it will happen. I was listening to someone the other day saying that everything that has gone on has been in the prophecies, that the end times is coming. Well, it may just be an end for a country, but it's not the end of the world. And rue the day for all those who dismiss it. But today, to make it right, that is where it's needed. For this very moment in time, we can be ready. Whenever God decides to send his son back, we can be ready. And if you are not a child of God tonight, you can be ready this very moment for when that day comes. And maybe you'll be long asleep, and your ancestors will be looking over your grave when that day comes. But rest assured, it will seem like it's just a short nap when the Lord returns. Be ready for him this day. You need to be baptized for your sins to be added to God's church. We want to give you the opportunity tonight. If you want to be able to live each and every day with a clear conscience and you need to get things off your chest between you and God, Now is the time. If anyone has a need to answer the invitation, come as we stand and sing.